first time I heard that song by Mr. Gill was at the funeral of a decorated soldier who had died in service to his country. It was very difficult to complete the sermon because the message in the song was quite enough. The microphone's not on. I said all that for nothing. Is that better, Norm? I'm in a quandary right now. In the bulletin is the 15th chapter of the book of Revelation. I saw in heaven another great marvelous sign, seven angels with the seven last plagues. Last because with them God's wrath was completed. Lord, we pray that your wrath will soon be completed, that you will have woken the hearts and the souls and the minds of your people, that we have put aside the cares of the world and the attention to the worldly things and come back to you. We see it so many times in the Old Testament, even in the book of Jonah, where the people did not do their due diligence and worship of you, and it caused them threats and great harm. We pray, Father, we can see the light. Our leaders can see the light. And our nation and our world can see the light. And that light is Jesus himself, and come to him. We've mentioned many names. There are many others that are on our hearts and our minds. Some nigh to death, others trying to recover, still others in danger emotionally or physically, spiritually, financially. Bless them. We hear so many times in the news of our first responders, particularly our police officers and officers of the law, being harmed for doing their duty. Watch over all of our first responders, those who take care of us, and give them strength and courage and keep them safe. We bless, Father, the children of our nation, that we can raise them even better than we were raised, to know who you are, know where our strength comes from. Be with our missionary and our military. Be with those who serve us daily here in the country and here in the community itself. And guide us with your love and grace. And we pray for those who are lost and their souls are not redeemed, that they will hear the word. I ask these things in Christ's name and for your servant's right words. In his name I pray, amen. A great and marvelous sign. I was telling them in Sunday school, I saw when I woke up in the middle of the night, part of a show called Wonder Woman 1984. And in it, Judy, I'm sorry, it was middle of the night and I wasn't getting out of bed to change the channel. In it, the Wonder Woman and some Wonder Guy, I don't know, were flying over top the nation's capital in the eastern part of the United States on 4th of July. You could see the fireworks coming up and they were flying above it and see the explosions of the colors down below and the great sights. We have a lot of beautiful things to see. Was it 2 or 3 days ago this week that there was a partial eclipse of the moon and it was glowed and it had a reddish color to it? I got out of bed early to go out and look at that. I wasn't too smart, but it was good looking. There are a lot of things that we see around us. Mr. Niles over there has a baby sister that's so beautiful and precious to him. And isn't a baby just a beautiful sight itself? And folks, we have another very popular, beautiful sight down here to me. We've got our senior citizens, most of whom we are. And I tell you what, the love and the passion and experience of our friends and loved ones that have experienced life and are good advice to us, they are wonderful signs as well. We can look out over the beautiful Gulf of Mexico and see the power, sometimes the raging power of God. And we, truthfully, God, we just don't need any hurricanes this year. It's been a bad 2 years already. Give us a spare. We'd ask him for that. But the beauty of the sunset and the sunrise and all these, there are a lot of great things. But evidently, what John the Revelator has seen here in chapter 15 far exceeds any of these things we're used to. A marvelous sign, a great sign, the seven last plagues, the end of the pain and the suffering upon this world is about to take care of. Christ is coming back to get his. It's been completed. God's wrath is completed. Punishment has been dealt out. I looked and saw a sea, what looked like a sea of glass, growing with fire and standing inside the sea. You heard the story about the glass blower? They got the hiccups and produced 20 percolator tops. Oh, that's funny. Come on. It's hilarious. We went to a glass blowing place. Amazing. That little box with all that fire that they can take the raw materials and melt glass down and on that long tube blow great creations in that fire. That fire is raging so hot. It's amazing what this world has for us and what God has done for us and what we can see we can grow. But this looked like a sea of glass glowing with fire. It wasn't melted. It wasn't burning. It just had that rage and the fire and the light. Standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast, and we talked about the beast, and the image of the beast, and the number of his name, that's 666, they held harps given them by God. And they sang a song of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb. Those who had not given in to the beast, he's talking about, we're going to be praised, and we're going to be able to praise God and glorify him for the blessings we have been given. Great, the song goes this way, great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways. King of the nations, who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. I love that song, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which wert and art and evermore shall be. That's a declaration of God's strength and power, and it's there for us. We have been blessed because of that. We as his children, as his Christians, those who follow him, are lifted up, and we can enjoy. All nations will come and worship before you. It doesn't say those who want to. Eventually, everybody will have to. It's just, if it's not on God's terms, if he's making them do it, then they don't reap the rewards that we do, but they'll have to recognize God. After this, I looked, and I saw in heaven the temple, that is, the tabernacle of the covenants of law, and it was opened. Now, we know that that is true because we look over here to Revelation chapter 21, and it begins this in verse 1, chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying or pain, for the old order had passed away. What a marvelous thought. I read that scripture every funeral I do. Sometimes it's for the believers. Sometimes it's for the non-believers, them to know that there is hope in the future for obedience of God. He's already got that planned out. And all we've got to do is follow the prescription that's been given to us in the scriptures. I looked and saw the temple in heaven, the temple of the covenant of God. It's coming down to earth. He will be with us. Out of the temple came seven angels with seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen and wore golden sashes across their chest. One of the four living creatures gave to them the seven angels, seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. They're going to bring judgment upon this world. There's always a payday. Sometimes it's good for being rewarded, and sometimes it's harsh for being disobedient. The white represents purity. I love that. Oh, guys, I'm sorry. I'm giving up my man card right now. But I like to watch that Say Yes to the Dress. You ever seen the Say Yes to the Dress? Some of you are laughing at me or because I watch it. I don't know. But the bridal gowns and all this kind of stuff. And just to have to make everything perfect. And there's another show. Four brides get together in a contest of who can have the best wedding. And one of them started last week. Well, mine's going to be a small wedding. It's only $70,000. I laughed. Then I cried. shining, but they wear the white dresses, supposed to represent purity, etc., etc. Dressed in clean, shining armor, wore golden sashes around their chest like you would a Miss America contest or something like that, something that's a designation of honor. But these angels had a hard task. They were to bring destruction and pain to the world, the evil world, the unforgiving world, the unreminding, unobedient world. And the temple was filled with smoke and the glory of God and his power. And no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were complete. There will be a judgment time. Now I prepared to get to you the 16th chapter about the wrath, but I couldn't do it. I can't do it today. I was watching the news as I slowly got dressed this morning, and if you've been on with them, armband and all this kind of stuff, you know what I'm talking about. The news came on, and it showed a tweet from the person who sits in the chair of the Vice Presidency of the United States. And that person did not say anything about congratulations to the families or sorry about the loss or honor the men and women who died. That tweet said one thing: have a nice, long weekend. I had to sit down. I was so upset I had to sit down. I couldn't even continue to get dressed. Joel, if I'd had you prepared, I'd let you preach today because I was so upset with this. Have a nice, long weekend. Now, in a couple of months, I'll be 70 years of age. 30th day of May was called Decoration Day. And that's what we did. No matter what day of the week it was, even if it was on a Sunday, we went after church. We went to decorate the graves. Those men and women who had died in combat for our country. So I got down, and this morning when I got here, and I got out my thyrarus, no, it wasn't my thyrarus, it was, that book has a lot of names in it. And I looked up, what do you call it, Jill? No, that's not it. It's some other thing. The big blue book. There's all. And I looked up the word memorial. The word memorial or memory occurs 289 times in the Bible. One of them in particular we're going to go to, but not yet. Remembrance, 36 times. Memory, 6 times. The Bible's all about memory, about what we have done and what God has done for us. Decoration Day, it was called. It's been changed to Memorial Day because of politics. We can have a 3-day weekend now. Didn't happen in 1971. It was all about the money. It was all about the time off. It actually came from many centuries ago, honoring the war dead all over the world. I mean, going back to the Romans, going back to the Greeks, way so long ago. But in that terrible war between the states, it took place from 60 to 64 or so. It has been said 620,000 men and women from the two sides fought and died. That's been redone. They found a lot more graves. They found a lot more history. It's up to over 700,000 of American citizens that fought in the war and died. And even before the war was over with, the women in the South, and it is a Southern tradition, went out and placed flowers on anything that looked like a grave. There wasn't a lot of tombstones back then. They were still in war. But any kind of marker there was, they put flowers around it. They cleaned up around it. They wanted to remember their fallen dead. Some were their husbands. Others were their sons and their daughters, maybe their wives even. It was an event to remember what these people had done. And we can debate for years, if you want to, the cause and results of the Civil War. We're not going to do that today. We're talking about the memories of them. And about 10 years later, General Logan made a declaration about the honoring of the dead. He'd have called it Decoration Day. It had been going on officially for 3 years in the South, and he wanted to proclaim it to all the country now. He was head of the Grand Republican Army, Army of the Republic. And he declared the 30th day of May to be Decoration Day, to take time off, to go to the gravesides. By then, there were many great cemeteries. Two of the largest, the largest, of course, would be at Gettysburg, and the second would be at Arlington. All those beautiful well-set, well-maintained gravesides. He said, remember what they had done, why they had fallen. It first came to my attention as a young child when we would go up to my home park, home place, in West Liberty, Kentucky. We'd eat a little restaurant that was owned by my dad's cousin, and there was a menu, and it had this printed on it. It says, John McCrae, a Canadian doctor, he was a teacher, wrote a poem called Flanders Field. Born in 1872 in Ontario, joined the military at 17, became a doctor, was working in the Ulls area of the mountains in the northern part of France, Belgium rather, and one of his best friends was killed by a mortar that came in. He wrote this poem as he got ready to do the memorial service. It says this, in Flanders Field, where poppies blow, between the crosses, row by row, they mark our place. And in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly. Scarce heard among the guns below, we are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, we felt dawn, we saw sunsets glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up your quarrel with the foe. To you from falling hands we throw the torch, be yours and hold it high. And if you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow. If you look on the front of your bulletin, I do believe there is a flower. Is there not a flower? A red flower? That is the poppy. That is a symbol that was started to the World War I dead. I have been given just this morning by Miss Allen a poppy to put on my tie and put on my shirt. I can remember back years ago on the side of the streets in the little country, you know what I'm talking about, Mr. Scott? They would sell for donation or pass out little green wire with a little bit of some kind of a cloth, and you would wear that to honor those that were dead. We have forgotten. Our vice president has forgotten what Memorial Day, what Decoration Day. And I would hate to say, but I'd be willing to bet, if you went out in even this town here and talked to those below 50 or 60, and ask them, what is this? Well, it's a weekend. It's a holiday. It's the beginning of summer. It's a time of celebration. There's no work, etc. Have a race tomorrow and all those type of things. I don't know that the average person, now I know you all do because you're a quite intelligent bunch, but I don't know if the average person either knows or cares about what those crosses and those stars of David in the cemeteries are. My great-grandfather is buried in a military cemetery, fighting first in the Spanish-American War and then in World War I. Came back probably with the virus, gave it to my grandmother, my great-grandmother, and she died from it. So the touches of war were great. It is my charge that we always remember. It is not only the wars of the past, which may help prevent the wars of the future, but remember one thing more important than anything, it's the love of God. John 3:16 tells us the most important message we should ever know, probably, for it says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, or begotten if you do King James, that whomsoever believeth him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I believe when we take a visit or take flowers to the cemetery, we're extending the memory of those who came before us, those who served before us. And that's really what the whole sermon is about today. I'm going to turn, if you wish, you may. It's not hard to find. It's in the book of Luke. And the book of Luke reads like this in the 22nd chapter, verse 17. Verse 14. The hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. This is the Last Supper, okay, Thursday night. For I tell you that I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. I tell you, I'm not to drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom comes.
Then he took bread and gave thanks before it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which was given to you in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. Right there. Can you? You're in the back. You probably can't see it. I don't know, Joe, how this got here, but I love it. Kind of bent over. Do this in remembrance of me. See, this is Memorial Day. This is not a race. This is not a picnic. This is not a movie to see. This is real life. And it's important that we continue in our hearts to remember what Jesus gave for us. And a few moments ago, after Jeff had given us a message and had prayed with us, we took the body just exactly like Jesus had them do near 2,000 years ago. Then after that, we took the cup made of the fruit of the vine and took with it, as the other Christians around the world was doing. And what did he say? Do this in remembrance of me. Oh, Memorial Day will be fun for some. There'll be sunburns and there'll be people out on the beaches. And I don't know what all's going on. But I certainly would hope. I certainly would pray that first of all, not the most of all, but first of all, we do remember those who allowed us to be free. Many of you have had relatives that fought in the war. Some of you yourselves have, I know a couple of you myself, have been in the war zones that saw overseas duty, that saw Vietnam and these other things. You don't forget those things. And I don't know that we appreciate you enough. Now, we're going to have a big time on 4th of July, and then we're going to have a big time on Veterans Day, and we thank you. But only those who did it knows what you had to sacrifice and what others had to sacrifice, even for their own lives. Presidential, Congressional Medal of Honor, highest military award you can get. Most of the winners never knew they won, because they're given after their death on the battlefield or wounds sustained there. Let us remember those in the past. Let us decorate, even if we can't get to the cemetery or pick our home cemetery, since most of us aren't here from here. Let us remember those who had given their lives in service to us. But more important than that, let us remember that after the cup, after the bread, after he went up on the Mount of Olives and prayed, after he was arrested, after he was beaten and tried, he was crucified. But don't stop there. After that, he was resurrected by his Father and our Father and our God. Let us remember Jesus. And if you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, I'll give you opportunity now as Pam comes up and Jill comes up. We sing 385, Pam. 385. We give back to God our hearts and our soul and our attention, because he gave his Son for us. Stand with me as we sing hymn number 385.
I have decided to follow